I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you got Arcan Solo here for an hour. Get ready. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. You thought things get intense with me and Andy. Wait till you see what it's like when he's not here. And it's just me, unhinged. You know what that's like, Braverman. You've done some of my weekend shows. It can get a little weird. We'll try not to get too weird here in this final hour, but...
Look, now is the time to just air out what you don't like about Andy.
Oh, I mean, come on. I only have an hour. It'd take me all day. but I do want to get to these things with Gerard Mayo here. Also, there's been some developments just over the course of the show with the Giardi and Evan Lazar beef, which is now... And I'll admit, I may have fanned the flames a little bit there, but it has been an interesting day here, not just for the Patriots, but for the Patriots media, stat beat reporters, everybody else. Everybody seems to be mad at each other. This is what happens, I guess, when your team sucks, right? I mean, it's been a long time since we've really been down in these kind of depths before. I remember the Patriots in the 90s, kind of. I was a kid back then, you know? Like, it wasn't until they were that Super Bowl team, you know, the Desmond Howard team with Bledsoe and Curtis Martin. That was when I really started remembering things about the Patriots. I remember Grogan and, you know, Stanley Morgan and John Stevens and kind of those guys, Andre Tippett, you know, Ronnie Lippett, guys like that, Bruce Hurt. But, like, I don't know. When it comes to when this team was really just unwatchably bad, the Rod Rust years, the early 90s,
Calls on Sunday night saying it was worse than Rod Rust.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's heading that way. You know, Rod Rust only went 1-16. This team could go 1-17. Or sorry, 1-15. That team could go 1-60. You know what I meant. Anyway, this is a bad situation that this team is in. And it's a situation that was largely self-made. They didn't have to go in this direction. They didn't have to do things this way. It does start at the top, and I do think that the Crafts are reevaluating a lot of the decisions that they've made here over this over the course of this last couple of years. Really, I mean, going back to 2019, I think, is when you can trace it all the way back to. Bad decisions started happening there, and they haven't really stopped. You know, they haven't really stopped since then. And that does bleed into Bill Belichick in his last couple of years. I find it hilarious that all these Belichick people are sitting there crowing now going, see what happens when you fire Bill Belichick? Like, he didn't drive this thing into the ground? How could you possibly think that there's any way to take a victory lap as a Bill Belichick backer? You might feel good that the guy who replaced him isn't any better. I think that's clear, and he may be worse. I mean, certainly looks worse, and the team looks worse. And Gerard Mayo obviously isn't going to be on the same level ever as the greatest coach in the history of the sport. But to act like he hadn't completely lost control of this thing and driven it into the ground, under the ground.
Yeah, what's that? What's the Bill Belichick game difference? One win?
Maybe. You know, it's funny when he goes on his podcast, too, and he's like, yeah, we didn't score a lot of points last year, but boy, that run defense sure was a lot better. And it's like, you want to just breeze over that like you didn't have anything to do with it?
And remember we talked Monday, he wasn't even talking about we were a good run defense. He's talking about the Patriots were good. Like, he's separating himself now.
Exactly. And, yeah, fine. So the run defense was a little bit better last year. Great. You were still a four-win team. You still completely neglected the offense, neglected the quarterback position, didn't bring in anybody or do anything to try and nurture your rookie second-year quarterback. Instead, your decision-making got called into question. You want to question the decisions the Crafts made? Fine. I'll be right there with you. But then to assume that you can't question anything that Bill did in these last couple of years is outrageous. That's just a ridiculous way to think. You can take a step back and look at it and understand that he plays a role in this. I'm not going to blame him for everything, Mike Lombardi, all right? I'm not going to sit here and say this whole thing's Bill's fault. But there's blame to be placed on Bill for the state of the team right now. Absolutely there is. You know, if they had let all of those guys go, which, by the way, I think Bill might have done. I'm not sure how many second contracts Bill's handing out to a lot of these guys that got them. Is Josh Uche getting another contract here with Bill Belichick? Or all these guys, Ramondre Stevenson getting a second contract? How many running backs got second contracts? Like, I'm not sure that would have happened if Bill was here. So they do have a point when they say things like, well, if Bill was so bad, why'd you re-sign all his guys? Fine, fair enough. but they were still his guys. It is hard to completely scrap an entire roster and build it from the ground up.
At some point, when are they going to stop blaming Bill for everything that goes wrong?
How do you do that in one offseason? How do you scrap an entire roster and build it back up from nothing? You only have so many draft picks. You know, it's not like you have a bunch of guys that you can trade and get great fodder for. They did get a third-round pick for Matthew Judon, and that's fine. But I do think that the pro-Bill people doing these victory laps are pretty funny. You know, like we all just completely forgot what these last couple of years were like and how it all felt. It was rough. All right, it was a rough situation.
You could have had him coach, and now he's up there making commercials.
Right,
he's ordering wings on DoorDash,
making commercials, doing podcasts, doing that show on the CW NFL. What is it? Which one's that? The NFL This Week, or
I think that's Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL, right? Sorry, yeah, not the real one, but
how crazy is it that we're talking about how many media stuff Bill Belichick is doing? We never would have thought this 10 years ago.
No, definitely not. Especially with, you know, his attitude towards the media in general. But now he's part of the media. And listen, a lot of people have problems with him and the shots that he's taking at the Patriots. I don't have a problem with that. When you're in the media, that's what you're supposed to do. I think it's a little weaselly that he didn't have a thing to say after they won that first game. But since then, if he wasn't taking these shots, I'd be disappointed. Honestly, I would be. I think that in some ways, he should shoulder some of this blame, but that's not what his job is right now. His job isn't to be like, hey, you know, I'm the coach and I got to take responsibility for this. His job as a media member is to comment on what he's seeing, and he's doing it, and I'm glad he's doing it. I think it's a little pathetic that, you know, Matt Patricia and Lombardi are in there, you know, bigging him up and trying to coax him into it and telling him how great he was and how things would be so much better if he was still there. Like, please. If Bill Belichick was coaching this team right now, what do you think would be different, really? What do you think? The run defense would be a little bit different? Okay, and that plus $1.50 gets you a copy of the Boston Globe.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, that doesn't mean anything. You know, the run defense being a little bit better means that maybe you're 2-5 now instead of 1-6. Maybe. I'm not saying definitely, but maybe you are. And by the way, they're passing on you too. It's not like it's just the run defense. They're throwing on you too. Trevor Lawrence is 15-20 in that game. And everyone's like, oh, the run defense is so bad. No, no, no. The pass defense is also very bad. All right? It's all just a bad situation. And I think that if Bill was here and if he was coaching this team, then defense probably would be better. But I'm not sure that the offense would be any better. And I don't know that Drake May would be here either, by the way. I don't know that if Bill Belichick was in charge right now, that he would have drafted Drake May at third overall. In fact, I'm not sure he wouldn't have traded back. You know, really, like he drafted a quarterback that fell to him in 2021, and that was Mac Jones, and it was the fifth, you know, out of five, 15th in the draft. It wasn't a top three pick, so maybe it's a little bit different. But do you think that really matters to Bill?
So Goodell would have been saying, with the third pick, the Patriots select Joe Alt.
Or the Patriots have traded the third overall pick with the Giants or with whoever, and now they're going to pick, you know, the two in the first, two in the second, bunch of fourths and fifths, and all this other extra added crap that he always was so into when it came there for draft time, because he always sort of figured with the quarterback position and with all the positions, really, if this guy's not doing it, I'll bring in someone who will, and they'll just go ahead and do it and execute it because my system's the best, and it's just the way it works. And for years and years and years, it seemed like that was true until Tom Brady left. Then Tom Brady left, and you realize, oh, yeah, the system really works well when you got Tom Brady running it. But I'm going over stuff that's already been talked about here. What we're talking about right now is Jerod Mayo being kind of under fire. And despite all this stuff I'm saying about Belichick right now, Mayo deserves a lot of the crap that he's getting as well. He had this to say about KJ Osborne and his social media post. Now, listen to this and tell me who it reminds you of. Joe, if you would. Do we have this one?
KJ Osborne, you sort of alluded to this week that he wouldn't mind being traded. Have you talked with him about that? Has he put in a request or asked to be traded?
You know, I've had conversations with all the players, about a lot of different things. What I will say, he's on the team now, and we look forward to him playing on Sunday.
Okay. We're going to talk about the guys who are on the team now. I have conversations with all my players. And we're just going to talk about the guys around the team now. The reason why I keep bringing up Bill Belichick is because in this press conference today, earlier this morning, Jerod Mayo went full Belichick. And he did it because he was getting coached by Stacey James, by the way. And he said so at the end of the thing. We'll get to that in just a second, too. But he opens the press conference with about 3 minutes on the Jets, just throwing names out there. Yeah, this guy's really good. Got to watch out for this guy. This guy really, it's a good coaching staff over there, even though they fired their coach. And, you know, you got to worry about Wilson and you got to worry about Adams. And Rodgers is so good at doing this, this, and this. And you got Sauce Gardner in the back there and blah, 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 blah. Just saying all the names he can, filibustering as long as he can about the Jets to avoid having to answer the questions. And the questions start coming. And those are Bill Belichick answers. He had another one where he's just like, we're on to the Jets. We're not going to talk about this. We're looking ahead to the Jets. This is all about the Jets. He said it so much that by the time they got to the end of the thing,
yeah, someone you know asked who's him, responsible for all this?
Coach Stacy over here.
Coach Stacy, exactly. Someone asked him, said, hey, so you opened your presser with this whole thing about the Jets. Is that something that you're going to be doing from here on out? You never done that before. And what does he say? He goes, well, Coach Stacy over here told me to just talk about the Jets. Oh, really? Oh, Red, did he?
Is Coach Stacy going to be like Goalie Bob now, like in the Bruins?
No, because I think they like Goalie Bob. I don't think Gerard Mayo appreciates this from Coach Stacy. I don't think he appreciates Coach Stacy telling him what to say. And I'm surprised that he still went out and did it, but I guess at this point, he feels like he can't make any enemies here. He's under fire. He's feeling it. He's a little desperate, and he's sort of looking at him like, guys, what do I do? And Stacey's like, I got this, Gerard. Just do what I say, and everything will be fine. You know, just answer the questions this way. Do your press conference this way. And what's the way that they're saying that's going to make it all better? Do it exactly like Bill Belichick used to do it. Don't give him anything. Don't give him any answers. If it's a question you don't want to answer, just say we're on to the next thing. Basically, go against every impulse that you have, every impulse that you think you may have about how to deal with this and what to do. Go against, like Costanza, right? You know, and everything I think I should do, I'm just going to do the opposite. I'm going to do chicken on toast or whatever it was, tuna on rye, chicken on toast, whatever the opposite was. I'm going to go up and talk to this woman, tell her I'm unemployed and live with my parents and see where it goes for me. That's basically it. Because what did Gerard Mayo say this entire time? What's he been saying since this all started? He's saying, I'm going to do this differently from Bill Belichick. I'm going to talk. I'm going to have a good relationship with the media. I'm going to be open and transparent, and I hope all my players are too. And so far, that has fostered an environment that is not good for anybody. It's not good for him. It's not good for the players. It's not good for the ownership group. It's not good for the media is all mad at each other now. You got guys on the radio calling each other jackasses. I don't know why that happened or who was instigating that behavior, but that's what's going on right now. That's the current state of this team and what's happening. And I'll tell you what. I feel like a pig in slop right now. I really do. Like, I'm enjoying this. I really am. I shouldn't be. I'm a Patriots fan. I should want them to be
good.
You
thrive in the chaos and the anger within each other.
As a radio host, though, I got to tell you, this is good stuff. I mean, this is really...
And now you planning for next week, you're going to call up Evan Lazar, and Lazar's like, hey, you're going to respond to this, and then they're going to go back and forth.
Well, Lazar does his hits over at the other station, so maybe he'll do that. Maybe he'll talk to Joe over there again. I don't know. I have no idea. I know that's what happened last time when he got called into the principal's office and scrubbed off the website for saying there was a mutiny. I know he went over to the other station and talked to him there. Maybe he'll do that again. I don't know. We're going to keep talking to Giardi and our own people here, and maybe they have opinions on this, and if they do, great. You know, fine. I think this is completely above board. If you want to talk about the coverage of this team and what it's lacking and what it needs more of, all of that's fine. But this is some chaos. I'll admit, this is some chaos, and I am really enjoying it. I got to be honest here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get to your phone calls. First, here's Joe Braverman to get you caught up on what's trending.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.